don't touch anything.
It's the greatest find yet. Nothing compares to it.
But it's definitely something you should hear.
This is The Real Deal with Larry Lawton.
Welcome to The Real Deal with me, Larry Lawton. We got a prison show planned for you today. Uh-oh. I think we're going to have a good show, Nick.
Jail, prison.
Jails and prisons. Been getting a lot of articles from people, been doing a lot of stuff like that. Before I get started, let me just show, of course, Oliva, our sponsor. Thank you again. They are a great company. I do love working with them. So Oliva Cigars, check them out. They're all over the place. They are huge. They are our sponsor. Also, Crooked Diamond. That is me and the Gangster Redemption. So you're seeing it all right here, people.
It's a box of a variety.
Get your hands up. We're going to be talking about prisons today because, you know, we were talking about this. And we've been having a lot of stuff going on with prisons. And we're going to go into Hazleton, which is in West Virginia, with Joe Manchin. And I'm going to bring some stuff up. And Nick wanted to ask me a few questions, which is good. And I'm sure it has to do a little bit with prison, stuff like that. So we thought we would do that. This Friday, I have a special guest. I have John Torres. John Torres is a Florida Today writer who's actually into comic books. So that's going to be a real cool show.
Not very surprising.
It's not.
I wouldn't say. Oh, he's actually in it.
No. Well, I don't know.
He's a writer. He looks.
Yeah, he's definitely.
He
a writer.
Looks the part. He seems the part.
Of comic books, what does a comic book writer look like?
Larry, if someone was like, "Oh, that kid over there is into comics," you'd look at me and be like, "Yeah, I could see that. I could see that."
No? I don't know. I don't know. You know, we watch a lot of podcasts. A lot of things shock me all the time. It really does. A lot of things shock me. And I don't mean shock me. Nothing shocks me as far as what people do or stuff like that. Just maybe like people like you would think that guy's a, I don't know, he looks like a chomo. You know, we call him chomo.
Yeah, so that must suck to have the cards of a chomo. But yeah, you're like, I don't even like kids, you know? Like, oh, that would suck. If you look like a chomo and you are a chomo, well, good. You know, good.
Well, what do you think when you see white van or just a van with nothing on it? You know, nondescript van.
I think I grew out of that as, you know.
Yeah, when we were all
as
kids.
As a kid, you stay away from those. Yeah, that's one of my friends would always be like, don't talk about my dad's van. He's a news, you know, because he threw the newspaper.
Oh, he was
it's for his newspapers. So we'd be like,
Yeah, right. That's where he goes at 4 in the morning, right?
Yeah. Oh, why is he always leaving so late? Because he delivers news. Mm-hmm, sure he does.
That is
everything lined up for, you know, their dad to be a newsman.
Oh, that
and
is
we were just
wild.
Like, nope.
You know, we're going to jump into prison stuff today because, you know, again, our podcast, we've had Nick and I on the last few times because we're really setting up some really good guests. And we like to do it anyway. And I like to have a voice for prisons and stuff of that nature, especially more so lately. I mean, I've been reading so much, Nick, and seeing so many articles about what prisons are bad and what guards are doing. Mm-hmm. Hazleton's a penitentiary that's right in West Virginia. Now, Hazleton, I think, is the same one that my man T. Grizzly was in West Virginia, and it's called Hazleton. That's the same prison that Whitey Bulger was killed within 12 hours.
What did Whitey do? Was he the snitch?
Whitey Bulger was a snitch from Massachusetts. Yeah. He was a mobster, and he was a crazy son of a bitch. They have moved, like The Departed had him in there. If you remember The Departed, that was a great heist movie, and guy was a detective as well. It was a really good movie. No, you got to watch that.
What was it?
The Departed. Okay. It was a really, really good movie.
Is it black and white?
No, black and white. It's pretty new, actually. But it was a really good movie, and it had Whitey Bulger, like a character that played him. And he was known. He was a crazy son of a bitch, but he was really on the payroll of the FBI and murdering people. I mean, the FBI.
Oh, he was?
Oh, yeah.
For how long?
There's, you know, a bunch of them. In the mob, too, it has happened.
I was watching some mob stuff. Some Yakuza. Oh, the Yakuza was talking some mad stuff on you guys.
Who?
I was watching some criminal, like eight questions for a criminal, and this guy was an Yakuza back in like the 70s.
Oh, you mean the Japanese?
Like, yeah, Japanese. He was like, oh, I loved the mob boys would always come up with us with ball bats and chains, thinking they were hard, but they never knew what they were coming for. They were talking mad stuff on the mob, dude. I got to show
it. I would like to see that if it was in New York.
Oh, my God. Yeah, yeah, it was.
Because in New York, they were kept into their little bubble, I call it. You know, they were in Chinatown.
Yeah, the Yakuza was talking mad stuff.
Yeah, but the Yakuza didn't try to go. If they were so bad, then why didn't they try to expand their operations to?
He said you guys couldn't mess with them. I was like, oh, he's talking mad. I love that, man. He was talking big. Until
they run into Roy DeMeo, who's killing people. Cutting their heads off and stuff. That whole crew, Tommy Karate. I knew those crew.
He kept calling them mob boys. I was like, wow, dude. Holy cow.
He probably, I don't know what he did or how old he was. All I asked any one of those, if you were so bad, then why didn't you expand your operation?
That's true. Why didn't you move to Florida?
No, why didn't you move? Why? That was dirty, Nick. Why you didn't expand your operation? I mean, if you're the baddest, you don't want to stick to this little, there's not money. I mean, there's only so much money in your little neighborhood, so to speak, and that's Chinatown. But why wouldn't you expand your operation if you're that bad and you're not worried about anybody? Because you can. Period. You know, you can say what you want.
Didn't Chinatown just take a block of or was it vice versa? I think Little Italy just took a block of Chinatown.
No, what do you mean take a block? When you say, actually, expanded. Chinatown has surrounded Little Italy to be, you know, but so Little Italy's not the hub anymore. They don't even have the Raven.
So maybe Chinatown took a block from them.
Yeah, maybe.
I know it was all up in the news at one of the blocks. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Within the past, like, couple months. Maybe the month.
I got to read that. Yeah, sure.
One of the blocks got bought up by the other block, and it was between Chinatown and Little Italy. I don't know who bought who.
Listen, Little Italy's been gone for a long time, per se.
You guys were messing around too hard, you know? Yeah. Got it taken away by the big boys.
Hey, I messed around. I just think, listen.
When was like your first like experience with Little Italy? Being like, this is the hub.
Oh, with Little Italy?
Yeah. Didn't you?
Well, you have, it wasn't until. It wasn't until later in my career. If you want to call it that, is when I went down, I got rid of my diamonds and stuff in Little Italy.
Start messing over there.
As a kid, as a little kid. I mean, everyone knew what it was and stuff.
Oh, it's pretty far from where you.
Oh, yeah. It was in Manhattan. Yeah, down in Little Italy. It's down on Mott Street, Mulberry Street, Hester. Yeah.
You guys ever take like the subways down there?
Oh, yeah.
Mess around as kids?
Listen, we were kids. We'd been all over New York, all the way from the Bronx and Yankee
Stadium.
How much
did it cost?
Wow, you're talking making if me you feel pay old, for man. It, yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, we we did jump turnstiles.
Yeah, why would
But I think a train ride was 50 cents maybe. Now it's like $2.50.
Expensive.
No, for 50 cents. Listen, here's the good thing about the trains. In New York, to this day, you take a train, you can stay on the ground, take that train all over. You can go from one track to the other.
Oh, it's only $2.50 until you pass that turn.
I think it's $2.50. I think
all
now.
Day you could just stay on it.
You can pretty much stay on it all you want, you know what I mean? And once you're in that, after you take the turnstiles, you know, it's just a great transport. New York has the best transportation out of any city in the world. Really, public transportation.
Oh, public. Okay.
Absolutely. I mean, there's nobody that has buses, trains.
They're passing a go-to-work tax or whatever, little lights. Who are getting charged $24 just to go to work now for, they're calling them congested areas.
If New York travel, is?
Yeah, so they're new polls, but now they're called congested area fees. If you go through a congested area at a certain time, it's $24.
Oh, my God.
$7.50 for motorcycles.
That is crazy.
Congested area
fees. You know what's funny about New York? You know, when I went back, the last time I went back to New York, it's $20.
Yeah.
But it is both ways, so $10 each way to go over, like, the Verrazano Bridge.
Jesus.
Which is a bridge from Brooklyn to Staten
Island.
They're
just trying to keep people...
No, it's just it's such an expensive thing that companies really have to, because you can't work in Manhattan now.
Oh yeah, like Ubers and stuff. That's why they're so expensive.
Oh my God,
an Uber can't travel without paying tolls.
And those Ubers make good money.
Are they you know, put into the price of the Uber, or do they have to eat it?
No. That you see it. I mean, whatever it is, they'll tell you what.
Because I'm still new to this whole toll thing.
Yeah, you know Nick told me this is funny. Nick goes, I don't believe we're on a highway here in Hawaii, in Florida. I'm on what they call the 528 going to the airport. And Nick goes, why do we keep going into these things that say toll?
I said, how many times am I going to get flashed? Like, why do they keep charging us? Yeah, for tolls.
And I don't know how many times it is from just where we're going, 3 or 4.
Oh, my God.
And each time it's like 50 cents or 75 cents or whatever it is. And I said, Nick, that's a toll. I don't like them because I think they should use tolls just to do the road. And then... they can either bring it down to 10 cents or something just to maintain the road.
Yeah, you were just like, it's normal. And I was like, no,
But, you know, I'm used to tolls in New York City area. So
you were like, you don't pay it. You've never paid attention when you drive. I was like,
I didn't believe it.
Oh, you were lying or you don't pay attention.
So we looked up Missouri, where Nick is from, and it said one toll in the whole state. Yeah. Check that out,
people. I've never seen.
It's wherever.
It's going to Ozark or
something. Yeah, somewhere. There's one bridge toll. And I go, are you kidding me?
The whole state, not just city.
The whole state. Well, listen, there's more people in New York City than there's in the whole state.
That's
double.
That's what I'm saying.
I think you only got them.
And the one toll is like not even in a, like a.
Oh, it's not even in like St. Louis area.
Yeah,
right,
it's in like.
Right. That blew, it did blow me away. I mean, but everything Nick's doing, I live in the city and then I look and there's all like suburban houses and stuff. That's not the city to me, obviously. The city to me is trains and buses and skyscrapers and
like
buildings.
Downtown.
Well, you like New York when you go there. You love New York City. I mean, you like...
Looking at the buildings are crazy.
We're going back here in very, very near future. We got to go to New York for some business. And I'm trying to hold out till it's a little bit warmer.
Oh, let's go.
No way. Can't stand when it's cold. Listen, you know how it is. Even in Florida with me, with my arthritis and everything else, I got bad arthritis. So, I mean, yes, I am getting old out there. But
you got some nice hoodies this year and nice sweaters.
Oh, that works for arthritis in the hands. You know, I mean, I got... Get out of here.
Wear some socks. Throw some socks.
What do you mean sock? What does socks have to do
with anything?
Throw
some socks on your hands. You'll be
all
right. Well,
let me read an article. Let's get back to prison like I told people we're going to do. Okay, how's this? Three Hazleton guards facing trial for abuse and falsifying records. Now, the best part of this article that just came out in December 1st, 2023, only a couple months ago, is West Virginia, of course. Three Hazleton guards are set to stand trial next month, accused of inmate abuse and falsifying records. Robert Sims, Joshua Sinez, and Joshua Reed, I didn't see that many names, were arraigned on Wednesday and have a trial date set for January 22nd. These are the charges they face. Now, of course, they didn't have the trial. We're just in February. Deprivation of rights under color of law. Two counts of assault resulting in seriously bodily injury. That would have been me. Alteration and falsification of records in federal investigations. And conspiracy to commit alterations and falsification of records. That's Robert Sims. Then Joshua Sins.
What did they do?
Deprivation of rights under color of law.
What is that?
That's probably Eighth Amendment, cruel and unusual punishment, deprivation of rights. Whatever rights you have, they're stamping. Could be.
These are the guards.
Yes, this is the guards. Assault resulting in serious bodily injury. That's
so they're tying them down.
Or doing something, exactly. And conspiracy to commit alteration of falsification of records. Now, he's got conspiracy.
But what they were doing, is it disclosed? Like, what exactly they were doing?
Doesn't actually say they laid him down and beat them. This one guy, alteration, the other guy's
that'll
conspiracy.
That'll make the prison look too bad, right?
Yeah, so true. And this one last guy just has alteration and falsification of records. So he was probably somebody who just wrote the report knowing it was false. And he wrote it all
messing with times and stuff.
Times and what actually happened, because they'll have it on some kind of
film. They could put you in the hole for a month and be like, he was here for a week.
Oh, they think so many things, Nick. But I mean, and it's so hard to actually catch them, because they cover up records. They don't tell the truth. And
they hide your mail. They take your mail.
Man, you're making me get thinking.
Imagine how easy it is now to actually like mess with your mail if they can't handwrite it. Like a guard, can't that guard just like... retype your mail?
Well, matter of fact, what I'm hearing they're doing, and they're not giving you mail. You heard what the one guy said.
No,
he says
paper.
They actually do it on a screen.
Yeah.
So they have to at least photocopy it. So I think it would be harder to do. And if it comes in, how do they know he just doesn't dump one piece of mail because he didn't like it and it was about somebody and he just ripped it up?
You're talking about the guard?
In the mail room.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like if it comes in through like a PDF...
I don't think it comes in that way. I think people write it and then they take it and scan it.
Larry, what I'm saying is, can't a guard just like copy the message that comes in, go put it in a Word, and then just mess with it? And then copy and paste it for you?
I'm sure they could.
But what I'm saying, if you were like, hey, Dad, help, they're doing this, and this to me, can't he just copy?
Oh, that'll never come out.
And paste your writing, rechange it to be like, I'm good, blah, blah, blah. I guess they could send it out.
I think you're because your
dad.
Too deep.
No, because if it was handwritten like you were doing them, your dad would be like, "This is not my son's handwriting."
But here's what happens: then dad comes and visits me and says, "This is what I got from you," and I go, "I said what? No way did I say that." That's when it actually happened. When he kept saying he kept writing me, and I kept not getting mail. That's how it actually happened with me. Imagine if he came and said, "Oh, I got your mail," and you said you were doing great. I'm doing great. When did I tell you that? You know, and if that's the case, I'll say, you know what? I want to see that, you know, or keep that, make a copy of that. And then that's really easy, I think, to prove.
I mean, if you kept your copy, do you guys have, I guess you don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
You know,
if they have like personal logins or something, it could save mail, which I doubt they have. Yeah, I doubt they have a portal in prison.
Yeah, and you're the only one with the passcode.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you know how many passcodes you'd have to go to your, you know how many people would be like, "Hey, counselor, I lost my passcode." Counselors would be pissed, dude.
Not even that. I just this amount of, I don't know, data, extra work. See, what they used to do is just get, they used to have mail call when I was in and literally get the mail.
When was the first time you went in? How old were you?
Well, for real go in or just get arrested? No.
Like what prison, was your longest first stint?
Oh, a couple of days. I mean, you know, 10 days.
10 days.
Yeah.
How old were you?
17.
And that wasn't your first time just getting locked up. They were like, "You got to stay here for a couple days."
No, yeah, it was like because I was 17. We got caught robbing cars by the time you got a lawyer.
And you got your like jumpsuit and everything. And
Yeah, it was your first time. Yeah.
You had to like get naked.
Yeah. 17 years old.
You stayed there for 10 days?
Yeah. Maybe 8 days. I don't remember.
A bond or something?
Yeah, no, until they process you out. That you actually had a first appearance and. What everybody has to have a first appearance.
Oh, okay.
After your first appearance, then the judge will set when you get out, what you're doing. And mine was over a holiday, so I had a first appearance, but I couldn't get out until it was a judge seeming.
Do you know the holiday?
I remember it was near the end of the summer. Today is President's Day. Not today. No, it was at the end of a summer.
You just had to sit there for extra time because it was
extra days.
How are you making friends going in with no credit?
Street cred. You know, I'm from the streets, so once you're from the street, you find out anybody in a prison is from your area. Especially when you go to local jails and stuff, usually it's people from your neighborhood or your street or your school.
So you knew people in there like, "Tommy." Yeah.
No. I actually knew one or two people, but it was like, "Oh, man, where are you from?" Oh, Throg's Neck, you know.
Oh, and they were like from three blocks down.
Yeah, and they might not know you, but they know you in school. And then you start to, "Hey, you know who, you know the McArdles, you know this guy, you know the, yeah. And then before you know
I guess, did you go to the precinct closest to you?
Well, you don't go to the precinct. No, see, back then you got the Rikers Island. You go to the precinct.
Oh, everyone just went to one place for even for 10 days?
That's why when I was there, it was 30,000 inmates there.
Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's just like, it was county?
That's a county jail.
Is it on an island?
Yeah.
That's awesome. You had to take a boat for 10 days.
Well, there's a bridge that goes over the island. Oh, but yeah. Okay, oh, no, you're getting it there.
I thought they were like,
it's in the East River. It's literally in the East River. The current's going by. You couldn't jump out. I mean, you couldn't swim off that. I mean,
I read about. Alcatraz and all the undercurrents and everything under there. No way. They could barely get boats in the beginning.
Yeah, this is really bad over here.
It's worse?
Oh, probably worse than current wise, but I think you can make it get to one side or the other.
Yeah, this is not long. What the currents looked like under the bridges and stuff.
Oh, you should see it, man. I've been there with boats. That's crazy.
I wouldn't want to be on a boat over there.
When I was in the Coast Guard, I was stationed at Sandy Hook, New Jersey, and I was captain in a boat for a private owner. And I took the boat to my old neighborhood in the Bronx.
You're 17, and then you're 17 when you went in. What made you? Was that what made you go in?
Yeah,
they were just like,
no, you either go in the military or you go.
Who gave you that? The judge?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He says you either go in the military, wipe everything out, or you go to prison. What do you want to do?
How long was this prison?
They didn't say. I think it was a couple of years, if that. But it was
just probably military. It was way better.
Hell yeah. I remember. And then they give you time to sign up and all that. Like, okay. You know,
he even let you out. Was like, you better go sign up, buddy.
Yeah, you just better. And they didn't tell you what service. You know, you back then, a lot of people, back in the 70s, a lot of people who went to jail or kids, I call 18, 19, 20 years old, whenever we were, we would get to, you had an option, go in the military or go to jail. What are you going to do? Everybody went in the military.
Yeah, I'd
go. You know how many people were like me? No. And then it was like, oh, I just didn't like school.
Well, which he probably saw that, you know, you're getting in trouble in school.
I didn't graduate high school. Up. I mean, I was 11th grade. And then that was it. That was the end of that. You know what I mean?
You didn't have to take like a test?
To get in service? Military, yeah. You did, but I scored the highest score out of anybody. I really did on the ABSAT, they call them, ABS something. And I could have chose any service I wanted to go and any job.
Why didn't you choose Navy?
Because Coast Guard was close. I lived near the water under the bridge, East Coast, under the...
But they shipped your ass off.
Matter of fact, it was crazy. They ended up shipping me to California for boot camp. For boot camp.
There was one
in Jersey.
You know the judge's daughter was there or something. Yeah, get Lawton out of here.
Get him out of here.
Get him out of here.
No, it was funny because New Jersey was like... Cape May, New Jersey was where they had everybody. But they had another boot camp in Petaluma, California. They sent me to Petaluma, California from New York instead of 130 miles down the road. They sent me 3,000 miles.
Did you do a bus or a plane?
A plane.
Oh, well, they spent some money on you, too.
Yeah, plane there and back, actually.
They should have shoved your ass on a Greyhound. Got
you. Yeah, why don't you just put me in a train? Why don't you? I don't want you to run shit.
Got you used to what was coming.
No, I don't want you to run stuff. No, the service, I love the service. You know that. I'm big service guy, so to speak. I still believe in the service to this day.
So that was your last time before you got your big.
No. I was arrested again.
Oh yeah, you got like arrested with the money.
And the drugs and the car and going to Atlantic City, New Jersey. You see that? Yeah, it was a good one.
I got five years probation.
I think.
That time, you're going into counties still. Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That.
But for no longer than like a night.
Couple nights. Yeah. And then
like communicate or anything.
No, I was out pretty quick because my lawyer got me out, literally bonded me out from Florida in New Jersey, and I was telling guy, man, they took care of me there, and that was a nice jail, it was Atlantic County Jail. When I say took care of it, they knew you were a somebody, but hey, what do you need? Hey, you had shoes, and they. You know,
you're talking about the guards? The guards were pretty good there.
I mean, they didn't give a shit. And they're doing their job. The cops were more pissed that I was going to get out before they were done with their paperwork.
The shifts, yeah.
Which I really was. I mean, I was out pretty quick. Like, I remember sitting on the elevator in the Taj Mahal. Because I had a limousine come get me out of the jail. That was pretty cool.
Here comes a limousine
to pick me up at Atlantic County Jail from the Taj Mahal. Because I had my own host and all. I called him up. He says, where do you want it? The jail. He started laughing. Sure enough, limo comes there in 15 minutes. I'm there.
Was that when you got caught with the money or something else?
That was when I got caught with $35,000 cash in the car. Some little cold bullshit. Kid. Yeah, but a kid will work for me. He didn't say anything. I love the kid for it. To this day, I know him. And he ended up going to prison for like 5 years. Didn't listen, so to speak, afterwards. But... listen, I always say also that all the time I did, you don't have to do time. You don't have to be a badass to do.
You just rat.
No, don't rat. No. Please, anybody.
That's how I thought that was going.
No. I just think that.
Now that I'm out, I figured out this really clever way.
Rat on your best friend and your mother.
Point at everything.
Don't ever anybody take that out of context. No way, man. I don't believe in that. And everybody who knows me don't believe that. I said that on that. Do you remember when I said that on the show to the big show that I was on?
Yeah.
I told him that.
And he was like, whoa.
And he agreed. No, he agreed.
I'm not no fucking rat. What are you saying?
No, he agreed. 100% he agreed.
Yeah, he used him as reference. He was like, keep my name out your fucking mouth.
Yeah, he was good.
He was great. It's not how that went at all, guys.
No, guys. You'll be hearing it soon. I don't know when. I'm not pressing it because they know what they're doing. I do. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And
he's
also
gonna wait for a big store. Bam.
And also, I'm looking. You know, my other piece that came out about that. What piece that just came out? What are they? The gambling piece. Wanting to see how the other piece goes.
Yeah, Desmond's. I'm excited. Yeah. For that
First of all, Desmond is the executive producer, the showrunner. I call him a showrunner, actually, on our show that I did for VH1, My True Crime Story. That one, I'm looking to see how it come out, because we did that.
It's about a year now.
It's almost a year, yeah. That's what my brother said. And you know what's cool, though? But they interviewed you, not you. They interviewed my ex-wife. They interviewed my brother. So I want to see how that really went with those guys.
And it's an hour.
It's an hour show, all on me. So I think it's going to be pretty cool. I mean, I really think it will. But, I often wonder, when you're with me and you do a lot of these things because you come along, What do you think of those things? Do you learn a lot or not?
Yeah, I look at way more.
I mean, Desmar, I think you learned a lot.
Yeah, I look at way more of like the back end and how they set everything up, which is cool.
I mean, Desmar like really vocab, helped you, I thought.
They have different vocab, which is also pretty cool.
Like when you say vocab, meaning what?
Just like when they explain things like lighting and camera and timing on scripts. Like if they're talking about a script, they have a bunch of vocab referring to what they need to the script, like beats and some other things.
Well, what I got out of the last one, and I've been doing a lot of them. I just talked to one from Fox News on something. And
on something.
I
you just did it.
Just did it an hour ago. I actually do forget about
those.
Oh,
it was the
really
weed
quick.
And mushroom pop-up shop.
Yeah, some bullshit arrest happening in Central Florida. It gets me pissed when I hear about those kind of arrests. But anyway, the one on that is what I learned is that they always have redundancy. If you noticed, there's backups. Remember the backup on sound they had overhead? They had it on me. Remember they had a mic on me, that overhead? And I asked Billy that. He goes, Larry, a lot of times things will fail, but you can't repeat a shoot. In other words, it costs a lot of money to try to get everybody back and do everything and time-wise and everything. So you're better off with redundancy than like us. We do have the mics, the Rode mics. I want to get those better. Yeah. And other redundancies, whether it's this or we used to have the mic here. I just like that. I think it's always better. And
Well, yeah, they're working with not the Rodecast, you know, so they can't see when something messes up. They're actually working with like mics onto cameras.
Oh, right, so, into the camera.
Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like
yeah.
Desma's right behind the camera, but she's not the director, you know. She's not the She's not the cameraman. She's the producer. Oh. So if a mic shoots out, all the producers are in the other room, you know.
And so, they came in a few times. Yeah, didn't they come to say something?
Because it's buzzing or something.
Something, the battery needs
then
changing.
After like, oh, you and Desma were just talking for an hour if a mic went out. Like, no, who's going to know?
Wow.
Because it's not Desma's job to...
Well, it's like you. You know what's going on right now with the sound in your ear. Yeah. I don't have to wear headphones.
Well, this still could go out, and if I wasn't looking at it.
I have a question for you. That's a good question here for the podcast. Why do you think Joe Rogan and a lot of these podcasters wear headphones still?
Because they like it. I don't know.
I'm just wondering because, there's no need, honestly.
No, there's no need at all.
If you're doing it, obviously hearing, but if there's call-ins or something like that, I get it.
Yeah, of course.
But
I just think that Joe likes to do it. I don't know.
I mean, you see a lot of them do. Well, you don't see all of them do it. That's
no,
true,
I don't
right?
see most of them do it anymore. Nah, I think everyone
you don't
came
see
to
Shane
the,
do it.
Yeah, I think everyone came to the conclusion where they're like, well, if someone else is paying attention to the audio, I don't. Just like you, I was like, you don't have to wear those, dude.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a.
And then you stop telling all the guests. I was like, the guests don't have to wear them,
right?
At all.
No, and there's we have no them all set up, people. No, it's not like we don't have all the equipment and everything we need. We have it.
Yeah, they absolutely no need.
And now I look why we're not. So,
but when I don't have them on, even for like a second, I'm like, oh, it's probably not working.
Oh, yeah, well, that's like, something for you. Not working. Yeah. Well, you're on the board.
That's what I'm saying. If I don't have them, I'm like, oh, something's not working.
You know, I actually sometimes like to work the board because I just know, and I always wanted to learn more of the music, not music, the sound effects and stuff, stupid love like that. But now that I know how to do those sound effects, I don't do it because I'm not there. You know, I never used to because I never labeled them. But you don't have to label them. You can actually look up on the board and it tells you what every one is. Yeah. And that's what blows me away. And I didn't do that, but I only learned that from when you learning it. What do you do? I don't know what he's saying to do what he's doing. But anyway, let me go back to the prison because, man, we didn't have this stuff.
So, I'm hopping back. So, after you got caught with the money, what was your next bid?
Whoa, you're still on me asking me questions. Okay.
Yeah, so your money, that's where we were last.
My money?
You got caught with the 30 bands, 35,000. You did like a day.
Yeah, it got out the next day.
Okay, so after that, when was your next arrest? Was it the jewelry?
I was investigated for a bunch of crimes.
But you weren't arrested.
No. I remember going to the police office for the burning of the pizzeria. I remember going to the...
That was after?
No, that was before,
you're just
actually.
Building a fucking... Like, let's keep an eye on this guy.
Yeah. Then I was arrested. Yeah, no. I was arrested and I was in 10 days in 1992 during the Hurricane Andrew.
What were you?
I was arrested off a cruise ship.
Oh, yeah, cruise ship.
Off a cruise ship. Well, they arrested me for
Never mind.
I had a partner that didn't give me my money. and I took the money. And then the building burned down, and I don't know how it burned down. Yeah. So that happened. They arrested. They couldn't get me on that.
Yeah.
But they got me on the taking the money illegally. And boy, I could have blew that one out of the water. You know, totally blew it out of the water.
Speaking of getting blown out of the water, isn't that
what Oh, my God. Hurricane Andrew's the worst in the world. And after I got out of prison,
You went to prison for that for 10 days?
Not. I was in Miami, and there was no power. Mm. There was nothing. Nobody knew where I was. I didn't know anybody's phone number.
You ran.
To New York. And they only wanted... How could have I ran?
I don't know. When you got... I don't know. You said no one knew where you were.
No. In jail. That's why I was over 10 days.
A Walden breakdown from that hurricane?
I didn't go... Wow, that's when I ate a half a rat. Well, I didn't eat... Everybody did in of the bucket.
Oh, you didn't eat the rat. It was
in the bottom of the bucket, man. People were throwing up.
What was the food? What was the food?
It was fucking... Oh, Nick, man. They put a vat of soup. I don't know what kind of soup it was. Ah, come on. I don't know. I couldn't name it.
Was it tomato based? Or?
They had one night was that, another night was something else. That was the hot part of your meal. And they'd give you a sandwich. Oh. No, we didn't eat the rat, but the guy was a houseman and he was ladling the crap out. And at the bottom of the vat. The vat. It was a big vat. Yeah. It was a half of a rat. Like it was like, oh, cut in half.
And that was Hurricane Andrews.
That was Hurricane Andrew, man. Yeah. That was the worst. That was a pretty bad 10 days. And that's when I broke my hand. I had a fight with the guy, and he hit
guard
me in the
or
neck.
Another person.
No, the prison. And then I had another guy who was stealing my shoes. I had good valleys. And I fell off the bunk hitting him. And oh, man, I was messed up, boy.
So I fell off the bunk, and somehow I accidentally landed on his head.
I did it on purpose. I smashed that motherfucker. I kept smashing that motherfucker until the guards came and took him out of there, and nothing happened to me.
It's a hectic 10 days.
Yeah, that wasn't a good one either. That wasn't a good one, man. I remember that was terrible. Couldn't make
you didn't
a phone
make any
call.
Friends in there for the 10 days?
Friends, no. I mean, I don't even remember a person in there. The guy I remember the most, the guy that I had a fight with, and pretty much.
When did
I think
you
he
cut
won.
The guy? Who offered you the Bible? Was that Andrews?
That was back when I was 35. 17.
Oh, okay.
You might have cut him with the razor blade you're talking
right before the military.
Yes.
So then, the judge looked at that, too, and was like, hey,
No, they didn't know I did that.
Oh, okay.
No, I was pretty slick about that.
Get this guy a musket.
Give this guy... This guy belongs in the military. He belongs in the Marines. I don't go fight.
And then you have your little...
Oh.
That little picture of you holding that gun and...
Yeah. Oh, oh.
With the helmet that's like
just
way too
around.
Big.
We were joking
I don't know,
around,
man.
We were in the, I was.
That it
was,
looks like you're not tall
you know
enough
what year
for the
that
rides.
Was? That was the end of 1979. Wow, my old. Damn. I was just turned 18. I remember that. So it was that's about awesome. Now November of 1979. And I was a little kid, and I learned how to work on a teletype machine. You want to talk about no computers?
What's that?
There was no such thing as a computer.
A typewriter?
Yeah, no, it was not even a typewriter. A thing that had this little piece of paper that come out with all these marks on it. You know, like the stuff you see in old movies. I'll show you a teletype.
Oh, like a Morse code?
Something like that.
Beep, yeah. Beep, 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 beep.
Something like that. I knew Morse code back then, actually. Yeah, Morse code was, they still need, you needed to learn that back in the day.
Don't you still need to learn it? I'd hope so.
No, well,
I hope they have something new. Because
no, I don't, they don't even know how to set, they don't even know how to do celestial navigation. Which
stars?
Is, yeah, with the stars, I had to do that. I mean, today it's a whole thing. We used to know dead reckoning.
They have to have a new language, though.
Yeah, it's you called know. Hit a button, satellite shit. It's Elon Musk. No. What's going to happen when the Russians take down our grids or all the satellites?
They're not.
Or they're not?
Talking about
hope it. Not.
Elon's got his stuff up there.
Well, Elon might be Russian himself. You never know. Nah, I like Elon Musk. I don't think he is. He's a good American.
I think he's on our side.
I do. I think all of them are. I think I love them all. I love the Bezos and the Musks and the people always like, oh, they're evil. They're no good. They're rich. Why do people hate people because they're rich? I don't get that. I mean, listen, I don't think people change that much. I never heard that he was a real asshole as a kid or a younger guy when he's growing up doing this stuff. I never heard that. So why am I going to start all of a sudden believing he becomes? I like the guy because he says it like it is. Whether it's telling Disney to go F themselves about their ads, buying Twitter, and then saying, hey, listen, everybody can go on it. I love that part of
firing
this.
Firing everyone.
Listen, it's not about fire. He knew they had to do that.
I'm pro Elon.
Oh, I'm big pro Elon. Yeah. I'm pro Jeff Bezos. I'm pro Mark Zuckerberg.
He offered way too high, knowing the law was that they had to say yes for stockholders. It was the law.
So no, once he said he offered it to them and they accepted it, he had to do it. He tried to back out.
What I'm saying is when a company is offered something.
He tried to back out.
But when a company is offered a certain amount of shares that profits the shareholders, they have to take that offer.
Unless there's some kind of thing in their bylaws that say they don't.
Yeah.
You know, it depends. First of all, that's a public company. That's another thing. It's different.
It was public.
I said.
And then he took it private.
Right. Well, no, I'm saying it's public company. He didn't take it private because he didn't buy every share.
I thought he took it private.
Did he? Did he buy every share of the company?
He took it private.
If he bought every single, I thought he just bought a control. Maybe he did.
I thought he took it private.
Well,
they couldn't take it back from him.
Well, maybe. That could be true. I don't know. I know once you're the majority stockholder, that's a whole different, you know.
Yeah, I know he was fighting with, like, princes in Dubai and stuff.
Oh, I don't know. Do you know, like,
I think
Bill Gates.
For facts, I know, allegedly.
Bill Gates owns 1% of Microsoft. That's it. And it's worth billions.
Yeah, it's all he needs.
I mean, he's been selling Microsoft shop. Do you know there's a lot of rules to that, too? They can't sell it all at once. They can't. Because you could tank the market. You can manipulate the market by doing that. Yeah, you can do that. I don't know what that is. Because maybe it's not plugged in. I don't know. Maybe it is. Who knows? But do you want me to? I'll stop it.
Hey, guys.
Oh, wait. Okay. So anyway, you know, and that is what I did. With, you know, I think about the Coast Guard. I think about the times I had a good time. Listen, I think anybody who's not doing anything in their life should at least do that. If you don't have any kind of like somewhat of a goal, I don't think the military is bad. People think, you know, you think I'm sometimes a gung-ho military guy, which I guess I am a little bit, you know. You better snap it, baby.
Make sure there's a bounce.
You better snap it, boy. I'd have been a good drill instructor, right?
Just screaming at people.
Oh, yeah. I'd love that.
Yeah, that'd been awesome. You guys would be like, go get fucked up.
Oh, yeah, I would have totally been like, yeah. You know, I'm like...
you wouldn't be handing out DOIs, would you? Like all these...
Never.
No.
Are you kidding
me? Never. No.
It's like a ticket. If I was a cop, would I give a ticket out? You'd have to be the biggest asshole in the world for me to give you a ticket.
You'd be walking around with your chest out with like the lowest tickets given. Everyone's making fun of you in your precinct.
Oh, yeah. And I'd be proud of that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, how many tickets you give out this month? None.
One. Because she was pissing me off.
Because it was this bitch that went, this was a Karen from Karen's time.
That's awesome.
You know.
So after the military, you went back. It clearly did not shape you up. You did slip and fall.
I don't
fall.
Think the military straightened me up.
Had a little slip and fall.
I had a major slip and fall, but okay. Yeah, I like that.
You hit
the
sign.
I got
hurt. You hit the wet floor sign.
Shut up,
That's
Frank.
Out of it. No, I'm just kidding. You fell what? Like
30 feet? You know how bad my back is.
He fell, man.
My back has been messed up for
That's
many,
like
many, many
more
years.
Than it's more than a story. That's for sure. That's two stories.
Oh, it's probably I was
it's
up
two stories,
I was
yeah.
but if I didn't land and fish
Where'd you land your feet, right? You had to
No,
land
my
feet.
Tailbone, feet
oh,
tailbone.
Oh, yeah, that's the worst. That's, okay.
You know, that's
you should have went for the side.
Should I? Don't know. You kidding me? Remember? You know,
when I fell, I was like, I'm going to land on my feet.
Oh,
and I should not have done that.
I smelled fish, and I kept smelling fish.
Were they live? Were they still, like, flapping on you?
No, they weren't there. No.
I'm surprised that even broke your fall a little. Fish seemed pretty hard to land on.
A little bit. I mean, again, it just wasn't a piece of concrete or steel deck. It was, but that's it was a little bit, but not like, you know, it wasn't
two
like,
fish moved for you. That's about it.
You know? Probably more than that. But, you know, it just, I mean, the way to slide, I don't know. I'm just lucky. Listen, another person could do less fall than that and die. Another person
sure.
go higher and live. You hear crazy stories.
Or less fall, you know, 10 feet and get paralyzed.
You land wrong. And listen, guys at bars get hit.
Oh, you seen that person that fell off the building and landed on that car?
Nick is Nick has got some serious
fine,
issues.
He was fine.
I know, but Nick's got serious issues. He watches Instagram.
He landed
guys
just right.
Who, like die and
they
fall
all see it too. It's on their algorithm. Hit me up how long it takes everyone in the comment section to find a fatal car crash or a shooting.
probably Instagram. 2 seconds.
I want to know your guys' time. Mine, I could probably find one in about 15, 20 seconds.
That's because you are having in there.
No, it's no. I think a lot of people.
Anybody have knows. All we got to do is search guy fatal car.
Well, I've never searched him.
Oh, you did somehow. No, you I did didn't. Something. No, no, no. Well, you think it just popped up?
Well, yeah. On the
don't
algorithm,
you use my account
on the algorithm? And then do you I use watched my account? It, and then I watched the entirety of it.
Do
and
you
then
use another my one account? Popped up.
And then I watched the entirety of that. I don't even like him.
Yeah, that, and he's him. Using my account, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That means I look like I'm looking at these crazy videos.
No one
videos.
Can see. No one can see what you're looking
probably
at.
Probably watches porn right, on my fell, algorithms, too, and I don't even know what the hell that is.
You fell into a
not vat. Not that I don't watch that either.
You fell into a vat of fish, right? Then you decided you need to get down with the get down and make some money. And then
no, when I got that, out of prison, I was right back okay. to, you know, hanging not out prison. With the guys. I said, yeah, once yeah. I got out of the service,
yeah.
I was back to hanging out with my boys. But people know all saying. This. Where are you going with this?
Well, that Larry, if you let me finish, I said, once you get out of there, you had to get some money. Then eventually you get arrested again. Here's your big arrest.
Eventually? No. Yeah. Many, many years later, I got
that's
out.
Eventually. That's the right. definition.
Right, yeah. right.
Eventually,
96.
You go back to prison. You I didn't go again, or you went again for the money.
Yeah, for the money in the car and the few little bit.
Then
of
after that, you didn't go again until the big one.
No, I was arrested for all getting off the cruise ship. That was another one.
And then you went to Andrews. Then you didn't go again.
Right.
Cool. Then the big one was.
Yeah. Oh, the big one was the first, big one. That was the big one.
What was the first
one.
Prison you went to?
Well, not counting county jails or anything like that.
No, for that. When was your first long stay in a prison?
That would have been Schuylkill, Pennsylvania, or Ferreton. Either,
and that was
one?
A few months in?
Yeah.
When they finally were like, you're going
to
stay right
Oh, now. Yeah. No, that was pretty quickly in. That was less than a month in because they had to put... Back when I went in, they didn't put you in a county jail the whole time. They actually put you in a prison with what they call a carrot unit. Mm. A carrot unit is a unit in the prison that's on the yard, does everything, just has to wear orange. And you're around all of the prisons in a major prison. Which is good
what
for me.
What are they wearing, tan or blue?
Yeah,
or
usually khakis.
Yeah.
And that's good for me because then I knew guys from the street. Mm. And I was up north now, so there were a lot of guys from Brooklyn.
So once you go in, you see people who aren't in orange. You didn't want to mess with anyone in orange? Like, say you're making friends.
Nah, you go in, it wasn't like you make... I didn't.
You had to make friends.
I did make a couple of friends,
you had to make
right?
friends, yeah.
I made a friend with a guy named Nick. To this day, got life sentence. He just
and
got out.
He wasn't
out.
In the mob.
Nope, he was a Greek guy. He used to be, he was a professed guy, crack your back, fix your back.
How'd you make friends with him?
Just hanging out on the tier and stuff like that.
Extra activities.
Convicts, it wasn't in a day, number one.
Yeah, I'm trying to, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I never made friends in a day to anybody. I was always cautious.
How do you start the whole, like, scoping someone out for friendship? Who do you get to see?
I don't think you do that. Boy, we should have shut that out earlier.
I couldn't hear it.
Oh, okay, good. I don't think... You just do that period. It just comes naturally or not. I was in
You're
county
so
jails.
You're so hard to ask, like,
no,
super
I'm not.
Complicated questions, too.
No, I'm not. I'm telling you the truth. I was in a county jail after I got rearrested and went to Seminole County Jail. I didn't make any friends, not one.
I'm saying the first long prison, that's where we're at.
Right.
Yeah, what friends did you make in there?
Oh, I mean, in the prison itself, a guy named Nick, a couple of mobster guys. But I didn't make real friends like that until I was doing years in a jail.
Yeah, you know, so how long were you there? You think about these questions way too technical. When I just want you to be like, yeah, I met a friend named Nick.
No, well, you know, I met a friend named
he
Nick.
He was in there
and Nick,
for...
Yeah, Nick
how'd
was
you meet
in there
Nick?
For drugs. He got a life sentence.
How'd you meet Nick?
Just talking about cases and he
just
was doing
at lunch,
the back.
At
no,
lunch?
No, no.
Doing a job or
no.
at a table you walked up to?
You'd like to hear or no?
I would. I'm dead.
I'm talking to you.
I met Nick.
Because we were talking about law. Just you see another guy, he's like you. He's been there a while. You hear that the guy
how'd
can get...
How'd you know he was... That's what I'm saying. How'd you know he's just like you?
Because you can see what you can see.
That's what I'm asking.
You can tell somebody who's been there a day, or you can tell somebody who's been there 6 months.
Other than the uniform.
The way they act, or what they have on.
So you're like eavesdropping?
Like no. You can just look and how they're acting in the cell block or wherever it is, who they know, what they go to, what job they have.
So you know by them just talking in a group who they know.
Yeah, and a little bit. You're still watching every day. I mean, you're
so you are eyeing these people down.
Here's what people, you're not eyeing them down to get a friend. You're eyeing them down for threats.
Yeah.
You know, you have to understand when you go to a prison setting, you're on guard at all times. I mean, totally on guard.
So
and that's not to
friends?
Be, oh, I want to be friends so I don't get beat up.
No, I'm just
In
saying.
In fact,
yeah.
you don't
do
want
you
friends.
Friends? But you
that,
had friends. You
but
had
if that, because you don't know if that guy's a rat or not.
Okay.
And if you make friends with him, And then fucking people see that, they, you know, what's the law making friends with? Oh, what's that guy doing with him? And if you did approach the wrong guy, well, believe it or not, so another guy.
How do you discern on who you want to approach and who you don't want to approach to be making
Well, first
friends?
Of all, like, with me,
what signs are you looking for?
Well, first, I worked in a law library, or went to the library right away.
That's what I'm asking. So you met him there?
No, I met him. I met people who knew him. Okay. And they asked you what unit you're in. And I said, I'm in A1. Oh, and they, oh man, there's a good dude there. You look him
so
out.
So it's
Nick.
Like through word of mouth.
Yeah, yeah. Just nobody says.
By wherever you're laying your head.
Or someone will say, where can you get stamps? That was a big thing, you know, for money. Who's got the stamps in around here? Oh, you know, that guy's got it. He sell a bunch of them. Then once you give one guy that money for stamps, guys will start coming up. Hey, if you ever need stamps, I give you 23 for 100. You know, they're $5 a book. So for $100, you get 20 books, but they'll give you 23 for the 100. Some guy gave you 24. When I had thousands of, I'd give him 25 for $100 because you want the street money. You want to convert that money into street money.
And you just give it to a guard or something?
No. You give it to them and they'll send the money to your books. Mm. Send to, you know, to the prison or to your
Who's
mother
them?
Or whoever they are, whoever you bought the books from or whoever bought the books from you. You see, it's just
no
money.
Yeah,
it's not very hard, Nick. It's money.
No, it does. Who's I want to know who them is. Who's giving your
Depends
people
on who's in it.
On the books.
Could be the drug dealer. It could be the bookmaker. It could be a guy who's a store man.
What you're saying is you gave them, they give you real money.
No, there's no real money in prison. Money is stamps.
Okay, so what you're trying to say is that they're converting their money just into your books? They're giving you money?
No, Okay, let me explain it pretty much. I've done this before. Most of you guys will know this, but I'll do it for Nick. If I go to a new prison, I need money. What do you need money for?
You
money?
Like real money or
No,
stamps?
There's no such thing. Yeah. You need money. It's on prison, the money is stamps.
Yeah, I know this.
So it's a quarter for a stamp. So
okay,
a book of stamps
this,
has
yes.
20... stamps, which is $5.
You didn't
correct?
Explain the launder. I get the stamps. You didn't explain how you launder it and do money.
You don't launder.
Bucks.
Who said
you
launder?
Said,
I need to
you
buy
literally
money.
Said, I give them the real money, them, to put on my books. Who is this?
I give whoever I buy the stamps from. I say to him, hey, you sell.
No, you said you're selling stamps.
When I sold them, if a guy comes to me and says, hey, I need stamps. Yeah.
So then what happens?
I'd say, how many are you looking to buy?
He's got $100. Now what?
He goes, he don't have $100 on him.
Okay. You need to explain that.
Okay.
So he just transfers funds?
I says, listen, send $100 to this address.
Okay.
Or $100 to this number or account. And he calls his people on the street. The money will land in a day. Okay. And then he'll come back to me and I'll give him. I always gave more than 20 because that's... Nobody's getting, there's so many people selling stamps, you have to compete for them.
Yeah.
So if they know you got a, like if I had a big week in gambling or whatever in the books, I would sell stamps at 25 books for 100. Because what good it is 1,000 books if I can't spend them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can, but you can't. But sometimes I'd give guys 20 books, 25 books, and buy me $100 worth of commissary. You got it, Nick? Now I need stuff off the commissary. So I say, hey, listen, he comes to me, he goes, hey, today's my commissary day, Lord. What do you want? Okay, you wanted to buy 100, 23 books for 100? He goes, yeah. Okay, buy me 10 suits or a pair of sneakers. Or
so
what?
You found friends through word of mouth. I get the stamps. I get how
yeah,
stamps work.
Word of mouth.
Yeah.
Okay,
you're
if you
just
want
not
to
very like a friendship, I guess, telling people you made friends. So I want to get down to that.
It's not about, you don't go
what
out.
You had you friends. You had a cell full of people making pasta with you.
Yes.
Those are friends that you
Most
found.
Of those guys come from somebody, a recommendation from somebody on the street. Or a mob connection or something of that nature.
So
they're
you
not
had
just
no
friends.
Black friends. You had no black friends.
Of course I had black
okay,
friends.
Okay, so how'd you make these black friends?
Usually you know? The law library.
Okay.
Or through
so
sports.
So that was your main thing was like.
Or gambling.
If they were in the law library, you would chat it up.
Or gambling, yeah. Yes.
Or yeah. If they came to you and gave you money.
Right, like, or they did the tickets. The guy was in another unit and I find out he likes to run tickets. So,
yeah.
And he's looking to make a hustle himself. Yeah. So I said, okay, go ahead. You got it, man. And I get to know him. We bullshit every day and stuff like that. Or on the yard when I'd work out, certain guys you'd get to know like that. So you had friends, many friends like that. And you say friends, I call them acquaintances because I don't know their names to this day. There's a few I do, And if I know their names to this day, they were friends.
Well, they were the closest you had to friends in there.
Oh, yeah. No, they were friends. Okay, so they were friends. Paul Tallini. Yeah. Right.
He's a friend.
Exactly.
He's the best buddy right now at this point, I would think. I think maybe you and him share way more than all your other friends. So,
well, probably because we're still, he's out. There's a couple of guys that still I know. Big Ron, I miss, man. He's in California. He was with me in prison. He's a big dude. Poor guy, screwed. He's older now. He's starting to get real old. He's in his 70s, I think, now.
What are you going for?
He ended up having his second. He's been stinting a while. And his second stint that I met him in, he got caught with a gun. And no crime or nothing, but he was a felon with a gun and got 10 years.
So just, that had to have passed.
No, he's out. Oh, no, he's okay. Out in California. I thought you were saying he's in still fact, in. I met him when I was with Teresa, my old girlfriend. We were in Hoover Dam in Vegas. We went to Vegas. And then we went to the Hoover Dam and met him there. He met us at the casino.
How'd that happen?
Because I called him. I mean, he got out and we stayed in touch. I still could call him. I still got his number.
Oh, he said he lived there and stuff?
He lived in, Vegas or close. And then another time he lived in L.A. or something, or California somewhere, where it was only a three-hour drive or something of that nature. So, yeah.
I smell cigarettes. You guys smell that?
No. Maybe it's my mother.
Did Ma sneak in here smoking a cigarette?
I don't know. Maybe she did because it's too cold outside. Oh. That might be.
You smoking a cigarette, Ma?
Yeah, might be.
She's in there hiding, I know. I know you're in there, Ma. I can smell it.
Probably. But I don't blame her. It's cold.
Oh, it's cold, man. It's cold. It smells like snow. It's nice.
It's cold. I like it. I don't like that.
It's awesome. Arthritis gets super. So, here's another thing. Say your friend goes away, you know.
Today, somebody I know.
Gets life.
Some guy gets life.
These friendships are hard to manage with, you know, friends on the outside. How do you go about that?
I don't know if they're really hard to manage, like anything else. If I know somebody very close to me and he went to jail today, first thing I would do is write him a letter, send him a few bucks. Now, okay. You don't have to send a lot either. Everybody thinks that. You don't have to
send. How long do you do this for? Once a week? Once a week, forever?
No, not once a week. Maybe once a month, once every 2 months, every quarter. Depends, you know. It depends how close you are as a friend. I would say if you went to prison, you know, at least
because some of these inmates want you to play the tag game. Like, call me back if you know, tag me in and out. I know some of these guys.
What?
You know, some of these guys get mad when you can't call them, or they miss your call, or you miss theirs, or
the guys in the prison,
yeah. What do you expect from me?
Those aren't convicts. Let me tell you that right now. That might be a county jail friend who's 22 years old. Man, what the hell, man? I'm waiting in jail. Like he's a convict guy understands. My own family didn't write me. I mean, my dad did. My sisters didn't. They didn't understand. My one younger sister was very close. She would write once in a while, but she'd write these 5-7 page long, big letters. Mm-hmm. I said, Don. You know, she passed away since I've been out now. And I used to say, Donnie, you didn't have to you wait. You know,
you got mail. I wouldn't. I don't know. That's just, I would a couple times. I'd send some bucks. I wouldn't write anything. I'd call a couple times.
Well, like that I think, see, I come from a different era. You got to remember that. You guys come from the computer era. Now they do a computer, so I bet you it'd be easy. I guess I would do computer with them and send them a few bucks every. Yeah. Here's what people don't understand. No matter how wealthy they were on the out or even in, having a few bucks sent to you, you don't realize it. It could be $100, $50, $20. Wow, to have that put on your books is a big deal.
Yeah,
you know. And then you go, wow, he thought of me. You know, I used to get postcards from a friend of mine. They'd send me, but like. Women that were like very, 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 very large, you know, those funny plotos or the two guys, you know, I mean, come on, and it's that's a postcard. Awesome. So when they dumped out the man, it would come out.
That's awesome.
My friends would laugh, of course, but that was kind of funny. But it wasn't like just getting a postcard with something. My dad used to do that. My dad was good about that.
Especially if it was dipped, like, wow, you really cared about me.
No, it was really cool.
Dipped in acid. That was a joke. Sorry.
That was a whole different animal.
Yeah, sorry.
That was some people, you know, that knew that game better than me. But, and I knew it pretty well. But, wow. It's nothing better than acid.
Nothing better than that type of mail. That was the best kind of mail.
Nothing better than acid. You close that door. But anyway, so I was, what are you laughing for? Because I said close the door. Oh, I just like to say that. That's all. I'm like a, I'm a door closer. That's
okay, it. So last question.
I'm a door closer. My sign.
I'm a door closer.
Oh, see okay. How it covers my sign?
Gosh nice darn thing? It.
Okay.
So getting out of prison, you were pretty fortunate because I see all your friends and they're some pretty high end friends.
Right.
You know. So how do you go about getting out of a long, long prison stint and finding high end friends?
Okay.
You know, because you got pretty lucky, it sounds, that you got out and for one, people stuck with you through your bid. A lot of people don't have that. The people who, you know, ride your whole bit out and it's still there when you come back. You had a lot of people that were still there.
Well, I think it was because when I went away, my word was good.
Yeah.
And I never went away on a bad note.
But a lot of these friends you have now didn't know you before that.
But they were introduced from a friend of mine, Joe Framini, yeah. who was one of my closest friends, just passed not long ago. Joe and I were so close. He used to visit me in every prison, knew my parents, knew people. So there's a few others that did that, and from Ralph and some people I knew. And, you know, they stuck with me because they knew, hey, listen, none of us are virgins, so to speak. None of us are like crime virgins. People made mistakes. They changed.
Some of your friends are.
No question. Yeah. But not one of them are legit. Listen, they did whatever they did to get where they are, but good people. Let me just put it
that way.
I know
a few of them that haven't done anything wrong.
That you know of, so to speak.
No, I know.
Just leave it at that. But let me tell you what I know that.
Unless they're on the side butchering people, listen, dangerously.
What I know about all my friends is that my word was always good before I went to prison, and my word was good when I got out. And here's another thing, and I'll tell anybody who's going to go to prison or if they're going
but
to prison.
But that's not
or whatever,
yeah, that's not advice for someone getting out.
Oh no, I'm like, giving advice. Well, it is because it starts before you get in.
Yeah, well. That's
no, it starts to get. If you're an asshole on the out, you're going to be an asshole when you get in, and nobody's going
to
be there.
What if you've got no one coming out? How do you go to social events and make friends?
Well, if you have nobody, it's hard. Yeah. Obviously, you set that up yourself by being an asshole before you went to prison. You totally did. Because if you went to prison at my age, 34 years old, or even your age right now, if you went to prison and you had nobody when you got out, then you were an asshole to a lot of freaking people. You really were.
No, I agree.
And you're not, so I think you would have friends. You have them now from when you were a kid. And I look at that and say, well, they'll be there anyway. That doesn't mean you have to expect them to do this or that, or they're not a friend.
Yeah, but a lot of your friends that you have now are from after prison.
A lot of them are dead. That's why most, I mean, no, I have some friends from before prison.
I'm saying, but a lot of them are from after.
Well, that's just because where you live. I don't live my old neighborhood. Yeah, yeah. Thank God. I'll be back into business real quick. A lot of my friends, because of the life I lived, are dead or in jail. So that's just part of life, where I grew up. But the friends, when I came back to where my parents moved to in 1983, which I knew beforehand, I knew people here that I were very, very close to me, and they were very close to me through the whole entire thing. And it's part of one, because I did it right. I never bitched when they visited. Oh, man, this sucks. I can't wait. Listen, they used to say, man, Joe used to say to me, Larry, man, you're the only one I know who could come out, you know, happy, smiling, you're doing your... Because why should I bring my sorrows and shitty life that I put myself in onto other people? I shouldn't do that, and I wouldn't do that. And I think that's important. I think people who do that are selfish. So, I mean, I never once complained. Yeah, I did hard time too, Nick. I didn't do bullshit time. I didn't go to no freaking camp for 15 months and bitch.
Here we go.
I didn't go to... Shut up, Nick.
Me? I'm not doing anything.
No, I didn't do that.
I just don't want to get you on the camp rant.
Nah, I'm a camper. Jeez, I can't do camp. I almost want to go to a camp. Just to see what it's like. I can't imagine. Listen, it's prison,
it'd
and I get that.
It'd be easier than the shed?
No, I think the shed will be harder.
I said it'd be easier than the shed.
Oh, no question in my mind. It'd be easier than the shed. I'd have a cell phone. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You'd have porn, cell phone.
TV. TV.
TV.
Yeah. Computer, FaceTime.
They don't have a TV. They don't have a computer.
Yeah, they do.
No, they had no TV. Everybody had a TV on a wall. Nobody had one in their cell.
They've got battery TVs. And they have computer times that they go on. Yes, all these kids are saying it when they come on here.
You don't have computer time to go on a computer and go, like, surf the internet. You could go you do email. You can
get around it. You can get around it.
No,
that
you
shit.
Can't, Nick.
Trust me.
Okay.
Trust me.
No, you're right. Clearly, maybe you've some never guy's, had, no, some I guy's know. iPhone no, is, I has know. Internet.
Yes, yeah. Everyone's iPhone has internet. Yeah. Not everyone's, but.
Yeah, you'd think you know they'd get around. I don't know how they do it
you
today.
Can't,
I,
if you it's, can't do it, it's the same as a school, Larry. They try in schools. And my, I got lucky in school because the Wi-Fi tower that was on the campus was AT&T. So if you had AT&T, you were the only kids that had service because all the other services were blocked. But they couldn't block that tower because they owned it.
Oh, and they use it,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, AT&T uses it.
Well, the school has to can't block every kid because they. What about the teachers who need it?
No, the teachers don't have service either.
Oh, so nobody has service?
Well, the teachers have like the Wi-Fi login, you know, so they have service.
Oh, so you could like, get that? You guys didn't figure that out?
No, no, but what...
Man,
but what you would do...
That's a little
you have
slow.
No, you have a way around it all. Yeah, you have like external apps that...
No, forget apps. Why don't you guys AT&T? Steal the damn Wi-Fi code?
Larry, nobody's sneaking into the offices like they were in the fucking... 30s, you know, I'm not, I can't change my report card with a pen.
No, we didn't know? Either. I mean, at the end, we used to use a typewriter.
made the report cards yourself.
Then it came to a point where we didn't even care. We just threw them out.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't
then it
care.
Came to the point where you're like, oh, so I'll go get beat, whatever.
The what?
It came to the point where you're just like, I'll go get beat if they're going to beat me still, whatever.
You know, you got to that point where parents didn't want to check.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's too much of a fight. There gets to a point in every kid and parents' relationships where it's just too much of a hassle on both ends. You know?
That's like, when the kid beat them down.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to fake cry and you don't want to fight with me right
you
now.
You don't want to
like,
hit me for the night.
Yeah.
My father, he want to hit you for the night. He'd make you cry now.
No. My mom got to the point where she was just
did,
like,
did
I'm
your
tired.
Father hit you or your mom?
No, my mom.
Your mom was the disciplinarian?
Yeah. Yeah. But she got to her point where she was like,
I can't.
No,
well, I'm she had, you this. Got lucky because your brother was worse than you.
Oh, he was way worse. Yeah.
So you looked like a good kid.
Yeah, anything I did.
Oh, anything. Poor Nick.
Oh, it was never poor Nick, no. But it was like...
Oh, he's not as bad. No, he's not
it
as
was
bad.
Always he could be doing way worse. You know, it was always like a...
And they didn't know what you were doing.
No, she didn't for a long time.
Oh, see? He's a little devil. Just like me. I don't know what he's doing. You know, that's pretty much half the battle. But no, hey, listen. Prison is set up. Listen, anybody who says prison's good even today, oh, they got this, they got that. You still can't leave. You can't go to a birthday. You can't come to, you know, you can't leave the place and go see a girl. You can't, people say they do, and you get caught one time, you're going to a real prison, and then you're saying, what, are you crazy? You know, and now you're over that, you know, woman, so to speak, and then all of a sudden, it's like, what did I do? And now I got real time, and they can make an example of you. So people there just want to do it, get their time done, and get the hell out is what usually happens, is most people. And I get that part of it big time. You know, why wouldn't you? Why would you not do that? Does that make sense? Why would, you know, especially when you're in a camp, Nick, you don't do time. When you're doing a year, that would make me laugh. I think before I got comfortable, I'd be, damn, I got to go now. I want to stay now. I got my friends.
See, friends.
Say, yeah.
Friends.
I don't own that prison.
Friends. Friends. You have friends.
Let me explain something to you, and I'll explain it to my whole audience. When you get to my age, if you can count your friends on your hand and fill it up and they're true friends, you're good. A lot of people can't, and that's sad, and it's really sad. And I mean people that are true friends that I can call right now and get whatever I want, and I have them, and you know. And I think that's important. I think you're getting them as you're getting older and you're realizing things like that. And that is worth more than what you do. That is worth way more, Nick, than anything you do. Does that make sense?
It does.
No.
It does make sense.
And, you know, I, as a person who's like, gets mad. I'm going to be doing videos tonight on...
I'm going to be getting mad tonight, guys.
I am, because I'm doing videos. I'm going to start research big time, research, and do a few things. I'm busy, but for the next few hours, I'm going to be doing videos. I'll bring them in. And so open your computer, and I'll be see if it's on, or maybe I can get to it. Or give it to me. You don't use it, do you? You're not using a laptop, are you?
No, not right now. I've just been pulling footage from it when I need it, but I don't need it right now.
Yeah, give me the laptop, because I'm going to start uploading them right away when I do something up there, because I'm going to do a few. But I'll tell you why, because I'm going to do a couple videos, guys, want... on prison stuff that's been going on and what my take is. on it and why we can do better in it, what's happening to certain people in prison, like to this day. From there's a couple of people in prison that I want to highlight, and it's highlight because, you know, like, who's the longest person serving time right now? I'm going to do that. I think that's going to be real interesting. How many years is somebody in prison right now? How many is enough? And what point do you just say no? You know, I don't know. Yeah, that's that stupid vent that, you know.
I can only hear it through them, though. I'm not hearing it on it.
Okay, you know what I mean. So, Anyway, but that's it. So, I don't know where we're at anyway. Are we getting, you know, yeah, ready?
Yeah, we're pretty much.
Well, I don't know because, you know, we were off.
Yeah, we didn't take a 15-minute break, so.
No, listen, I'm good with whatever you do, yeah, Nick. I'm you're good. The boss.
I know. I just was explaining to you.
All right, everybody. Listen, I'm gonna head it up now. And I want to tell everybody, you have anything to report? Anything new?
No.
No, right, no, he's excited. All right, guys, I'm going to be doing a. You're going to hear a great guest next week and Friday. That's this Friday, John Torres. I'll also hit him up on some from his. He did stuff on Murder on the Space Coast. He has that podcast himself, and he does some stuff. And he's a real great investigative journalist, really, really good. And he's got something with comic books. So I think it's going to be a pretty cool. That's going to be a long one. I just have a feeling. And it's going to be, you know, a lot of fun talking to him. He's always fun to talk to. So everybody, have a great day. Please make good choices.
Don't touch anything.
And I'll see you Friday.
Nothing compares to it.
But it's definitely something you should hear.
This is The Real Deal with Larry Lawton.